Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody doesn't see spirit, but it's there. And it's powerful. It's not just about fate and stars and destiny coming together. It's about, like, co-creating your life when you understand more. You got to be careful who you go to outside of yourself. There's a lot of charlatans and people hustling people. And I never tell people I'm a psychic. I always say, if you know a good psychic, give me their number. If we really want to talk about, like, Black women, spirit has just been such a big component of our joy, our strength, and our ability to be seen. And I had to do the work to know, like, everybody can have this. Now, how much we want to use it or rely upon it, that's an individual journey.
This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Sharla.
And I'm Lauren.
And today we're talking about spirituality, which, you know what? I could use. I could use a little bit of spirit right now in my life.
You know, I am really excited about this episode. I feel like within this past year, my connection to my own spirituality and, like, connecting to my ancestors has just gotten so much stronger and has helped me develop a greater sense of confidence and trust in my own intuition to be able to, like, sit down and get calm and, like, listen.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to talk more about these themes and these subjects, because it seems that, like, spirituality is very in vogue right now.
It is. And the thing is, like, it's been married with wellness and mindfulness and all that other stuff. Frankly, I have found that stuff to be very helpful. I've found mindfulness and wellness to, like, help my life in a practical way. And I'm really hoping that Ayana coming in will help me in a practical way with my connection with spirituality.
Yeah.
I should probably say who's coming in.
Yeah, let's get there.
Ayana Maya. Our guest today is Ayana Maya. She is a spiritual healer, a writer, and producer based in New York City.
In her media and arts career, she's worked on television, film, and theater productions. But outside of that, she's been cultivating her gifts for spiritual intuition to run a word-of-mouth spiritual guidance practice called Self-Care Works.
She teaches people of all different religious backgrounds how to develop their own rituals to suit various phases and quests in their life. She also gives tarot card readings and helps people identify key patterns in their life.
I'm also really excited that we have an intuitive coming in, because I'm hoping that, like, her calming presence helps us as we navigate our own internal shit.
Yeah. I mean, as usual, I'm a bit of a skeptic, but...
And I'm all in.
Yep. But I will listen with open ears and open heart and see what she's ready to bring to us.
Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Your career path is very much aligned with what Sharla and I do. You work in entertainment, but you also have this second full career life path of being a spiritual healer. And I want to start with, when did you recognize that gift inside yourself? And how would you define being a spiritual healer, I guess, for people who wouldn't
know? Yeah, what does that
know?
Mean?
Yeah, that's such a... Such a heavy weight on my shoulders. No, and I like the term spiritual healer. I also like the term intuitive. And my favorite thing I coined is lifestylist, because I just feel like it all comes together. But honestly, it didn't really come into play in terms of taking on the ownership of a role like that until I kind of came into my 30s. I was fighting it because I didn't want the responsibility. because I care, you know, and I think that that's the foundation of doing any kind of spiritual or healing work is the listening, the act of listening, the caring, and helping people to plan and prepare and move forward and feel ownership of their own lives. And I was a reader from my 20s. And I was having fun with it at first. You know, I was like, I just want to know what these cards mean. Because I grew up in a household where we weren't spooked out by spirit work. But it wasn't like I come from a family of practitioners either. We had a Ouija board, and that was cool, and it worked. And nobody made you feel bad until I took it to school one day.
Mm-hmm. It was demonic in my house.
Yeah, everybody was like, we were at the bowling alley, I remember, in like junior high, and people were intrigued and scared at the same time. And I was like, oh, this isn't cool. I thought it was just something you do, like the board moves. And I remember that being one of those transformative moments where you're like, oh, I have to be mindful of how spirit work works for some people and scares, you know, other people. But I really just grew up in a family of people who paid attention to their dreams, had little old root things that were passed down. But Jesus was still like head honcho, so to speak, even though we weren't a church-going family. So not until I really learned how to divine using tarot was when I kind of was like, oh, this is a system, and this is something that involves a certain amount of intellect. It's not just about fate and stars and destiny coming together. It's about like co-creating your life when you understand more.
So what is being an intuitive feel like? Like, that's what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Like, because I have very like TV understanding of what spirit work is like. And it's just like, are you like
thinking of the movie Ghost?
Exactly. I was like, are you
Danger Girl?
are you literally hearing things? Like, what does that feel like? What does that work literally mean?
Well, to me, everything's a language, and language is an agreement. And so on some level, when you start to kind of feel how your spirit interacts with energy, you start to see which language you're the most comfortable with. And so we have these different terms around clairvoyance and clairaudient, where you're hearing more than you're seeing, or seers or dreamers and sages, where more so comes through methodical wisdom applied to intuition in the moment. But I would definitely say there's levels to this. So feeling it can sometimes be like when you say maybe like the more like the movie stuff.
Yeah.
People who see spirits, or they'll feel a chill around them with a vision or with the spirit there. But for most of us, I would say, especially the comfort level around that energy, it's in your gut. And so you'll get this kind of feeling of sometimes the butterfly feeling or an unease feeling, but it's got a deeper context going on. When you say, like, what's that feeling like? Do you ever have a feeling like spirit or something?
I mean, I do have a strong sense of intuition. I feel like if you don't listen to your intuition, woe is you. Like, right. you literally just had help, you know, mm-hmm, and you mm-hmm. chose to ignore it. Like, and if my gut is very strongly feeling something, then I try my hardest to listen.
So you feel it. It comes through your gut.
Yeah.
And do you know the difference when it's like my thought patterns versus like my gut told me?
Sometimes I don't.
Yeah,
sometimes I'm really confused. Is it, you know, my own fear, or is this legitimate, like legitimately telling me? But also I kind of feel like it's when I go against my spirit, when I go against what I want, that's also my intuition, you know, alarming me too.
Right. And I always feel like it's something that is also like inside of you, but also there's a feeling of it being beyond you. Mm-hmm. And when that kind of merger comes together, you know, spirits in the room. If you ascribe to believing that spirit has power in your life.
Someone once told me it's like when you allow yourself to be open to spirit, or to be open to ancestral messages, you then receive it. And in my life, one of the things that I've done recently within the last year is created an ancestral altar in my home. Mm-hmm. And since I've done that, it's just been this very intense, rapid spiritual journey for me. But mm-hmm. I feel so connected to my ancestors and feel like a call and listening. And I've had moments where I've definitely felt like a higher energy in my house. Like,
yeah,
as an intuitive, can everyone access that? And how does one learn to operate with a sense of discernment? Like, I think we're both in this place in our lives where we're like in a state of unknown and are like wondering which direction is next and asking big questions about like life and career. And for me, sometimes I'm like, is this my head? Is this my intuition? Like, how do I practice discernment and knowing which way I should go?
Well, you practice it. And so with practice, we get better at things. But what you said about the altar, okay, so let's talk about practical things. When people do things like altars, it's just like architecture or and blueprints or dioramas. You made those before when y'all were kids. Like you make the shoebox and you put this little world together. So when people are making these different types of altars or they're part of these nature-based religions where there's a lot of things physical to identify or personify spirit, they're literally saying, I don't want this all just living inside of me. I need something outside of me to represent it. I don't want my ancestors just living in my memories or somewhere in a ledger or a little tree, like where you wrote it down. I want things to sit there in front of me, like pictures, like things they liked or flowers or things to show honor. And so when we start doing very practical things with our spirit world, it helps with the discernment because that energy is working with us. You know, I teach people how to create mobile altars because I have a lot of clients on the go. And so it's more about consistency than making sure you're elaborate. So I'll be like, okay, a mobile altar, you can use a journal or a scrapbook and you put in the pictures and the thoughts or the vision board stuff, whatever that altar represents. So you can't say, I don't get to get out of my head and do my prayer work or my spirit work. And so when we kind of do these different things to strengthen that muscle, it just becomes more clear of, oh, I'm just thinking versus I'm intuiting. You know, does that make sense to you?
It does. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm more confused about what I want, which whenever I'm very confused or lost, like I kind of just sit still. And I've been trying very much to just not think, not do anything, not have too many expectations of myself. But what do you say to people who are in a space of feeling confused? It almost feels like I don't know myself to a certain extent, because that's what it feels like. It feels like if I knew myself more, I wouldn't be so confused about what it is that I want.
Well, I would say for like confusion or that feeling of confusion, that not knowing, make some fun with it. Date yourself.
You know, like I'm fine too.
Yeah. Like have some fun with it. So if you're confused about something, treat it
I
like
that.
Someone you just met. Like I just met me today. Yeah. And how am I gonna do this? And it doesn't have to be a romantic dating, it could be friendship building. But get yourself in a space where you're not looking at yourself with so much worry or judgment and you're just trying to be open. Because we have sides to ourselves. Yeah. And so I feel like confusion, as much as I don't like confusion either, sometimes some of the most beautiful things come out of like letting that confusion breathe, because it's just something that's trying to get untangled so it can have flow. And sometimes that's how we work with spirit. So if you believe that grandma or uncle who gave you wisdom when you knew them, or gave your mom wisdom and she tells you these stories about it, that they can come to you. You just say to that person, peace, light, and love to your spirit, I'm confused about this. Can you show me signs of wisdom? You know, that's sometimes the way that's very comfortable for certain people to work with spirit, because everybody's not about working with the dead, of course. You know, they want to let it rest in peace in a certain kind of way. But if we get comfortable with spirit, we can always access wisdom the same way we go look in a book, or we'll Google and we don't know where anything came from. And we'll go with that knowledge, but we can access our ancestors in that way, especially when we're confused, because they're how we got here. So if anybody's going to help you answer something, go to the people who got you here.
But why is spirit considered more, I guess, legitimate source of information. Like, I know plenty of dumb people who have died. Like, why would yeah. I go to my dumbass cousin?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't go to what you don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who... I don't know who my grandfather was. You know what I mean? So when I honor him, I literally just have something, and this is my practice, I have something down that says grandfather. And I just try to think of him in a nice, light way. But I don't sit and meditate on grandfather, what would I do? Because there's nothing to really, in my makeup, to back that energy up unless I'm just doing something exploratory and experimenting. So no, don't go to your dumbass cousin. You know what I mean? Like if you, or like if you're going to go to some people, you see people like got altars to Tupac everywhere. You got to go to the good side of that Gemini. So it's like we have, that's where our intellect really does come into play to not just like teach us, but protect us. Like, there is dumb spiritual stuff to do. And I see it out here a lot. And I've been victim to it, especially when I was young. I was going to tarot card readers when I was a teenager. And they were just telling me crazy things, trying to get me to buy candles and, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I had to do the work to know, like, everybody can have this. You know, when you were saying, like, does everybody have intuition? We all have it. Now, how much we want to use it or rely upon it, that's an individual journey.
In my own journey, so I pull a tarot card each day, and I and it's helped me learn as a tool of like practicing and working with my own like intuition. I don't know. It's like I feel like I'm on this journey of being like learning to embrace confusion. Like Sunday, I could not sleep Saturday night through Sunday, and I just had all
that
of these
full moon energy.
Yeah, that full moon energy, just like racing thoughts of anxiety around particular issues. And eventually I was just like, okay, spirit and like my ancestors, just like I need an answer, I need clarification, something, I need to go to sleep. And then all of a sudden I had this calming energy like hit my chest, and just the words, you are peace, you are peace, you are peace. And it was just like, oh, I've seen it in my own life through my own journey and practice and in work. And I wonder, hey, what was that journey like for you to recognize that this was a gift that you had in which you can help others? And how, what advice would you give people to find it within themselves to start the journey?
Well, for me, because I'm heady and I'm like super educated, like multiple master degrees. And so I'm a skeptic. I admit the things I've had. There's certain skepticisms I've just grown out of because you just start to have other evidence where you can't rely on always being a skeptic. You got to be in it, you know. But I think for me, honestly, it just kept working more than not working to be focused in on spirituality. And I say a lot of the stuff I learned in terms of accepting it is through being a reader. Because when you're a reader, you are still using an archetypal system. And I would be super heady about it. I would explain everything to the person and say, this card means this and this element. And because it's in this position, you know, dot, 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 because I believe in educating in people what I'm reading. But those cards would just start talking to me and be like, I'm not just about this person needing to be more abundant because money's on the way. I'm about this person's self-esteem. And you need to tell them, like, if they can't cross that through that and be okay with how they look, then they're never going to get to the next place. And in my head, I would be fighting it. But I was like, but I'm not sure if that's what it means. And I just kept getting pushed. And that's like your gut instinct, your spiritual energy pushing you to be who you're supposed to be. And it just kept working.
As someone who is a skeptic, and I mean, I don't pray to ancestors or like, it's not that I don't believe that they're important, but I just, it's just not something that I do. And like, why do you think it's, especially as someone who is educated as you do, why do you think it's something that is important for us to practice in a modern setting? Like, what is it that we're getting out of spirit that we can't get from the world?
You just can't deny spirit, because spirit is also kind of what goes to what's unexplainable. And there's just certain things we can't explain. And why not be comfortable with spirit being a component of that, or that being the word synonymous with the unexplainable? But I do think for, if we really want to talk about like Black women and the secret lives of Black women, spirit has just been such a big component of our joy, our strength and our ability to be seen. Everybody doesn't see spirit, but it's there. And it's powerful, in my opinion. You know, so it's just like, that's something that Black women have historically had to deal with. Like, we're amazing. We're most beautiful, most powerful, energetic, alive, passionate, through the deep depths of versus sorrow or exuberance. Like, we cross such a wide spectrum in the world, but sometimes we get so invisibilized. And so I find that spirit is like this thing that we really go hand in hand with, because that doesn't take away from the power of spirit unless you allow it to. And that's kind of been our own overall kind of overarching self-esteem journey. Like, nobody can take anything away from us unless we allow it, you know? So I think it's an important practice for many Black women, especially, to be connected to their spiritual energy, whatever they call it. They can call it the spirit of Harriet Tubman if they want to, and start Harriet Tubmanism or whatever they want to do. Or it can just be our natural in and out, or Oshun and Yemaya. I just think we have so many different archetypes in the spirit world that we should know that language, because we don't always get it in our everyday world or in our TV or music video or radio, all that kind of stuff. We have it, though. So that's why I do think I would prescribe it, you know, especially to women of color.
So I want to know about this transition, because you have a master's degree. You've worked in television and film like Lauren and I have. And I mean, what's been your experience in transitioning from this very stressful professional world to doing more spirit work?
Honestly, the biggest difference I feel is more of a personal difference, because a lot of times in the entertainment industry, I'm navigating in so much stereotyping, so much materialism, and so much status quo classism as a Black woman. And so I've gone through these highs and lows where someone wants to make me their mammy cook servant, and then I also have to be the boss and hire everybody and figure everything out. So it becomes such an intense, physicalized, judgment-oriented space that when I transition over into doing self-care, doing spirit work with my clients, life planning, it's so beautiful, because everything is about being aware and giving attention and being careful and being gentle and sensual and in the moment of a person's energy and whatever their spiritual framework is. I actually find the industry to be more unpredictable than work in spirit. And the way that I integrate them, honestly, is that's where the intellect and the mental stuff has to come into play. I have to meditate. I have to create a certain energy around doing self-care work and facilitating and reading somebody versus the type of energy I have to give when I'm producing or directing a documentary. And that comes with maturity. You know, I used to do things that I shouldn't have done as a spiritualist. I did a psychic fair once when I was younger at a college. And so these kids are lining up, and I can only read each of them about 5-10 minutes. People are crying. Things are coming out really quick because the energy's built up, like somebody's coming to get a message.
Yeah.
Some of them are just curious, but others are in need, you know? And it's like you can't just open people up and send them on their way. Some spiritualists do that and they're cool with it, because they're like, well, life will take care of itself, you know, spirit, whatever. But in my journey, I had to learn, like, I don't feel comfortable opening people up. And then they just got a bunch of messages and they don't know when they're going to happen and what to do with them. So I purposely don't read like that anymore in most case scenarios, because I don't feel that it's the most responsible or accountable way to do spirit work.
So what do? You just hold back?
No, the way I do readings now is, honestly, I'm probably one of the few readers who will read people for lengthy periods of time. Mm. One of the few readers that will allow people to record. They can go back over it and text me, you know, things like that. And I just make sure now the work is much more self-care oriented. And I never tell people I'm a psychic. That's something I don't do. I always say, if you know a good psychic, give me their number. Mm-hmm. Because we all have psychic impressions, and some of us may be more psychic than others. So yes, you can give out those messages. But a lot of times when people give psychic messages, they'll tell you something, but they don't know time. So they'll tell you, oh, you're going to have this and that, or you're going to die in But they won't fade in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes that thing where who wants to just sit with energy? I don't ascribe to that. So whenever we're going to deal with something that's a forecast or a psychic impression, we're going to deal with the potentiality of it.
So, like, how do you gauge whether or not you should tell somebody some energy that you feel?
So sometimes people will ask me things and I'm like, whoa, like, is she going to die? Like, mm-hmm. I've had those questions. If I felt in my gut, don't do it, I would say, no, I can't answer that. But usually I don't feel that way. And so we read it. So that's what I love about reading with a tool, like a deck, is that we break down the things that this means and the relationship of what it is. So, for instance, like the death card.
It doesn't always mean death, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But there is a card, the Phoenix, which is about dying, but it's also the understanding of with death comes rebirth.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it's like I had somebody asking me, and a lot of people ask about love, and they're like, when am I going to get married and have babies? You know, things like that. And the energies, if I don't get a card that's giving me a time energy that's very clear, then I say, I may not be able to tell you that, but from what has shown up, this is what you need to do to open that pathway because this is something that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how, what I mean when I say potentiality, because everything is not just black and white face value when you're dealing with divination.
We are going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, I want to talk more about the resurgence of spirituality mm-hmm. in culture and how does one begin. So we'll be right back.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Now we're back. I've witnessed, I think that there's like this is a huge resurgence of spirituality and connecting to like traditional African spirituality amongst Black women recently or mm-hmm. just connecting to intuitive spirit via tarot. And do you think that that is a part of a great awakening that's happening or a response to the chaos of the world and trying to find a sense of certainty?
I honestly think if a lot of it's about media and the access to media,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if everything that we're accessing audiovisually for most of the time of the, you know, the past century or whatever compared to this century has been like you have to get it in a film or someone has to pass a tape or a CD to you, then it's happening in these little pockets. But there's been like in market, especially in commodification of spiritual groups, now they can sell tapes of their ceremony. They can put mm-hmm. anything on YouTube. And we're just more global. So the African diaspora is becoming more real and reality-based for people. And so you're seeing stuff that's interesting to you that maybe was more so just verbal stories mm-hmm. or through music. And so I just think it's like an open market. It's like
it's
like a gold rush, you know? Yeah, it's pop.
It's gone pop. It's like become incredibly popular culture for these things to be talked about. Do you think this is good or bad for spirituality?
So I don't go against it, because I say let's just let nature happen, let it run its course. But I do feel like those of us who feel more accountable or responsible to portraying it in a certain kind of way, or making sure people understand the harms or harm reduction of quote-unquote spirit work and brujas and witches and wizards and all this different stuff, that we just make sure we give voice to it when we can, instead of like, because I'm the type, I'll just go underground about it.
Yeah.
I rarely do social media or, you know, interviews or anything about spirit work, because it's so confidential also and personal. But I do think that there's a way to go about it. And I've seen a couple of like films and artists out and music videos and different things and TV shows on Netflix that I think are good, because I'm seeing Black women as lead characters, and I'm seeing the spiritual side of the work that a lot of freedom fighters have done. So those kinds of things I like about it. But yeah, sometimes it gets a little funny. Like, you're just like, what is all this almost cosplay around spirit work? You're like, okay.
But I wonder if Lauren, you know, does have a point, though, because this thing has gone global because we are more connected. And I wonder if us collectively looking to spirit for answers is a response to just the darkness that we're surrounded by.
Yeah, well, I agree. It is, you know, because at the end of the day, people have needs.
Yeah.
And if spirit work or a collective consciousness is going to satisfy us feeling good or feeling better, it's going to happen. And it's going to take on, kind of like I said, a life of its own. It's going to be viral. Just anything can be viral. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. So I'm at the point now where I just don't think it's something of a right or a wrong. It's just too wide. You know, but I do feel sad when I've seen some things, especially in more the religious tract of spirituality and religious groups that work with spirit and name it and personify it deeply. There's a lot of charlatans and people hustling people, and they're hustling them with like internet readings, and you don't even meet people, and they're telling you what to do with your life, because you just need a voice that you can trust, because you don't know yourself. And so that's why that, like, when people are feeling confused, you got to be careful who you go to outside of yourself. The same way you don't go to your dumb spirit cousin, why are you going to some babalao on the internet that nobody knows, you know, and you don't know them? And we have to think more about those kinds of things that we buy into. And I'm not saying it from just the outside perspective. Like I said, when I was younger, I would try anything. I'd be like, this sounds interesting. Or look at how many stars and reviews they got. I'll give it a try. What could it do? It's just information. But witchcraft enters through the mind first. You know, that's one of my godfather's quotes. And it's a great quote. And he writes about the tradition. His name is Tata Alex Lasaye. And some of us, you know, we have to learn what not to do.
What advice would you give for someone who's looking to work with a legit spiritual advisor?
Try to get it through referral, you know, or from someone, even if it's not someone you know, someone you admire. I would say also, when you do seek out, especially through a business or, you know, some practitioner that's charging you, ask questions before you even do the service and see what you feel in your gut.
What are good questions to ask, though?
Ask them about their background. Ask them, what is the process going to be like? And if you're more clear about what you want to ask about, ask them, have you done this before? Or are there things that usually come up? And ask them about, well, what happens if I feel uncomfortable in the middle of it, you know, or afterwards. What would you advise? And don't be afraid to ask them about time and money, because this is an exchange that you're having with them. And then for my more experimental types, especially like younger people doing spirit work, I would just say, like, just keep remembering, like, you are your own guidance unit, and check in with that energy of your what you feel in your gut. Don't just do a bunch of stuff. Journal it, because there's going to be some impressions that come in from trying different things, you know, because at the end of the day, like, experimentation is a big part of life. And so we can't tell people not to experiment with their own spiritual framework. That wouldn't be right, you know, in my opinion.
How do you help someone, like, trust themselves or their intuition when they are just deeply confused and don't even know what it is that they want or how to listen to that?
Well, first of all, people who are maybe feeling like they're coming from a place of lack in some kind of way, I just first want to empower them. Because honestly, sometimes when we are our most afraid or most desperate or most confused, we are our most powerful, because we can feel that energy pulsating in us. It's like a hunger or just a really strong energy. So first know, like, that's you getting to feel your power. Even if it's not in the way you want to feel it, your power is right there, just like something you can plug into. And then in empowering people, like you said, meditation is so key. One of the best meditations that I give any of my clients that are more so like students or I work with consistently, I tell them to do a 5-5-5. Do a 15-minute meditation daily if you can. 5 minutes, just breathe. Doesn't matter if you empty your thoughts out. Don't make it like I got to do something in that 5 minutes. Just focus on your breath and see yourself releasing, like, in and out, in and out. Next 5 minutes, you just pick one thing you really want. It could be as simple as a hairstyle or something you designed, or it could be world peace, whatever. But pick that one thing you want and let yourself have it for 5 minutes. Just deserve it. Let yourself be in the energy of receptivity. And then for the last 5 minutes, you take out the journal and just write about something you want to do or a goal or something you're working on. So that way there's application in an energy where you've opened yourself up to be fully connected to your energy and allowing yourself to have the things that you deserve or want. And so in doing that practice on a daily basis, a person gets to really feel more empowered about creating their own life. Because we don't want people to come to spirit work from a position of, you're going to fix my life. Mm-hmm. Once we give our power away to someone else, it just makes us less powerful. And so we want people to always be co-creating and life mapping, no matter what spiritual or religious work they do.
This is a question, is I think that, you know, when a lot of people think of spiritualists and people are very zen, do you have moments of, like, doubt or anger or just these negative emotions?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you process
them? And I have to say, like, when I was young, like, I was all over the place because I was also dealing with trying to understand what my spiritual energy is and mm-hmm. things I was feeling versus things that kind of, like, I was in communication with spirit about, and I didn't always know the difference. And then I also grew up in a very rough area with a very, like, rough kind of, like, energy in my family around verbal abuse. And so I find that, like, what really helps me, in all honesty, is the practice. Like, when you feel out of control, but you know that there's a ritual or a practice that you're going to do every day, like brushing your teeth, like, you can get depressed, but there's not that many days you're going to go without brushing your teeth, because that's real. Like, mm-hmm. funk in your mouth is very real. And so you have to start putting spirit work or whatever your meditative practice on that same level. Like, even if I, or exercise, even if I don't feel like exercise, and once I do it, I feel better. And so I do the work before I feel it, when I get in that space.
So you have a practice called self-care works. Because mm-hmm. in my mind, like, you're a spiritual healer. So, I mean, to me, you're, like, literally elevating self-care to a level of spirituality. Like, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. this is so important.
Yeah,
that it's
yeah.
spiritual. And I do feel like it's something that's very important, again, because of the darkness that's going on all around us.
Yeah.
So can you talk about your work and why you call it self-care works? And
yeah, I call it self-care works because it's, like, so plain. Self-care yeah. works. It works. It
yes.
really does. and my little tagline is, like, I'm a spiritual girl in the real world. So I'm not turning my TV off completely. I'm not voting, you know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not voting. And I'm still doing things that are triggers for things that are dark in the world. I don't cut off family members completely who refuse to get therapy, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm still in the world, but I'm putting spirituality at the foundation of self-care because I feel like when you don't have the material stuff to go to fix things, what is left? You know, to me, spirit is what's going to always be there. Honestly, most of my work, most people love to get readings and then they love to do coaching. It really is the main thing of the practice. But I have had clients who want to develop as spiritualists. And that kind of just came into play from some of my clients saying, I want to be a student. So I built out curriculum and practicum out of, you know, doing spirit work with people to help them be who they are because they feel that pull on them. And I keep it very simple. If I make it too complex and I say, you can book your reading online and my assistant this and that, that's not where I'm at with my work right now. It has to be very, like, relationship and interactive based because I'm also a spiritual girl in the real world. I'm not just in a home doing spirit work all day. You know, maybe when I'm, like, 70 or something, mm-hmm. that'll be real cool to just do spirit work nonstop.
Getting back to when you were talking about spirituality being viral now, it being something very popular, and you saying that, like, as far as your self-care goes, you don't feel like you need to, like, block off family that won't seek therapy. You don't feel like you need to, like, turn off the TV all the time. It does feel like there is this pressure because spirituality has become viral, that there's this pressure to practice it in a specific way, in a particular way. What do you say about, like, us, about this pressure to practice spirituality in this, putting it in this box of, like, how you're supposed to do it?
I say, F that.
I mean, that. I would say, fuck that.
Yeah, thank you for standing for me. I wasn't ready.
I'm always ready.
No, but I have to say that because, honestly, there is still a lot of persecution within different spiritual practices and religious groups, and coming from the outside, there's xenophobia. Like, there, and some of the things I see the most in some of the spiritual traditions is, you know, a lot of times, especially like indigenous practices, they're much more like, I would say, there's a lot of gangsterism involved. People have houses and cohorts that they do spirit work with, and there's not like this big mega church or things that are going on. And so the things that come with the people come into the spirit work. So there's homophobia, transphobia, there's all kinds of different phobias. And so you have to say, F that. So that's why it's super important. And then also, we don't live in a village. A lot of us are on our own in our families with an interest in this stuff, or we're on our own in our lives. We may have a couple of friends who are into it, but are they really, like, we're in a spirit group together? So you have to do it on your own terms, or you're going to start identifying with a bunch of other people who haven't lived your life. And it's just not going to work.
Well, I feel like this has been, like, such an illuminating conversation. I'm truly, I didn't think that I was, I feel like I'm in a place in my life where I'm leaning much more on, I guess, spirits. I'm not someone who would say it in the past, but, like, because I feel so confused and lost, I do feel like this has been a really timely conversation, and I'm so glad that you came in and talked to us. We like to end every episode by asking our guests, what is your secret to life, to thriving, to being you?
I would say my secret is just do it before you know it. If it's worked in the past. Because a lot of times when I'm in my mood or in my way or confused, it's just a certain energy that's building up in me so that when I do what I know works with what I don't know yet, something new is coming or coming out of it that's just propelling me forward in my journey, my destiny, or just feeling better. Because I think that, like, I agree with a lot of spiritual leaders, like, at the foundation, you want to feel good.
Yeah.
And when you don't, you have to do something before you know it.
That was great.
That makes me emotional. That was amazing.
Totally.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Ayana.
It was a pleasure.
This truly.
Truly it
truly.
Was.
Thank you so much.
You have no idea. Yeah. We needed it.
We did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ayana just left the studio, and boy, oh boy, I actually, because I'm usually a skeptic, I'm usually someone who's like looking at people who are spiritualists, you know, with a side eye. And she said a lot of things that made me feel like, oh, I feel like I should listen to this person. I feel like she's making good points. And one of the things that she said was not to look outside yourself, which I feel like is one of the weaknesses of, you know, spiritual healers and people who, you know, you have to like go to this guru to tell you what's wrong with you and what's going on and why you can't figure things out. And I loved what she said about looking inside yourself, not giving away that power, not giving away your own strength. Like, that was really encouraging to me to hear.
Yeah, it's like all the answers are inside of you. Also, just like practical things of her thinking of the 5-5-5 meditation of like taking 5 minutes to envision yourself having something you want was like a thing that was like mind-blowing for me, of like 5 minutes of breath, 5 minutes of envisioning what you want, and then like 5 minutes of journaling. That's a practice that I want to like incorporate, you know, in my life. And yeah, I feel like I'm getting like a lot of downloads from this conversation, and it was really good, but also that reminder of just like go inward.
Yeah, I loved what she said about when she told me to date yourself, get untangled. That actually was genuinely helpful thing. A helpful thing to hear.
I wrote that down. Like, let your confusion breathe.
Yes.
Sometimes things need to untangle to be in flow. And I was just like, wow, just the thought of like letting your confusion just breathe and be there.
She said to ask yourself questions. And I was like, yes. Like, well, I do have a list of questions for myself. Yes.
I also feel very calm, right? Like, she had such a calming energy. Like, I feel a calmed presence.
I have a sense of clarity. Like, I have a genuine sense of clarity from Ayana being here that I really didn't have before this conversation. And frankly, we've done, full disclosure, we did 2 interviews today, and we had 2 really powerful women that spoke to a lot of the things that we're going through right now. And it just felt like a real, it felt like a very special day today.
It felt like a destined
it did,
day,
it did.
Dare I say.
It did. That's it.
Which leads me to my word of the week, my phrase of the week. Let's phrase it. I always have a phrase. But this really like struck me in such a deep way is when Ayana said, just do it before you know it.
Yeah. This is my word of the week. Mine is spirit is natural. Like when she said that. Because what I think I got clarity on during this talk was me feeling like I'm going against my nature, essentially. Like, that's what I was like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, I don't call myself a spiritual person, but I'm someone who does very much believe in intuition. I do very much believe in, I wouldn't say destiny, but I always think that we are where we're supposed to be. We, you know, the things that come into our lives are there because they're supposed to be there. And I love what she said about ease, you know, because I think ease is synonymous with natural, you know, like it's just like nature doesn't feel like it is taxed, you know, and when it's taxed, it's when it's a problem. So I'm just like, if I feel so taxed, if I feel like things I'm fighting, I'm pushing, like nothing feels easy, it's like I feel like I'm going against my natural nature, you know, like I'm going against my nature, and like maybe I should take a step back and date myself.
Date yourself.
And figure
girl.
Out, you know, what a guan so that I can know. But yeah, so I think like when she said spirit is natural, that really hit me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like we both got a lot from this conversation, and we hope that everyone listening took just as much out as well. And
I feel very grateful for this podcast.
Same.
Yeah. We get to do something very special. We get to bring Black women in here and they pour into us. And What a job. So I'm grateful. Really grateful for it.
So grateful. Yeah. And we're grateful for you guys for listening and being on this journey with us as well. And we hope that you join us again next week for some more goodness. It's just so good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher. We are your hosts, Charla Lariston and Lauren Domino.
Our producer is Taylor Hoskins. Our senior producer is Stephanie Kariuki.
Our editor is Gianna Palmer. Special thanks to our chief content officer, Chris Bannon, and our recording and mixing engineer, Andy Christens.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SLBW. See you later.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.